Hi there, my name is Prakash Chandran, and this is a Pfizer podcast series. Dr. Aroni explained in the last episode how the hypothalamus plays a critical role in obesity. In this episode, he relates the mechanisms of disease to treatment. To start off with, Dr. Aroni, where do anti-obesity medications work?
Most of the action in the hypothalamus, the two nuclei of the hypothalamus, and then downstream from that. It's a complicated system with many parallel nuclei. So you stimulate one and compensation occurs someplace else and through an entirely different system, right? That's something that we worked on for years trying to understand why, when you gave someone phentermine, did they, you know, like 6 months later, they're on the same dose of phentermine and their weight's right back to where it was to begin with. How the heck does that happen? It's because you'd give them the phentermine, they would lose weight, their fat cells would shrink, their leptin levels would drop down to very low. And all of a sudden they had no leptin around compared to what their brain thought they needed. And they started to regain weight. Whereas when we look at GLP-1s, the reason why I think we're getting more durable weight loss and safer weight loss is not just the mechanism of action, but they're active in multiple nuclei of the brain. So they're not just in the arcuate nucleus. They're active elsewhere. They're hitting other systems. And, you know, when you look at the way we practice now clinically, we're using bupropion, naltrexone, phentermine, topiramate.
And we see additivity between all of these agents. In any given person, we may see it or not, but we use all of these together.
We just published our 5-year data showing over 10% body weight loss maintained for 5 years in a substantial number of people. So it is possible to get people to lose weight and to maintain it, but because of the complexity of the system, number one, you need chronic treatment because of the counter-regulatory mechanisms. You need combinations, and the combination can be the same compound at different sites or different compounds at the same site.
Based on the medication's mechanisms of action, do we know why patients with obesity lose more weight than patients with diabetes?
Well, the short answer is that nobody really knows. There is such a big difference. I've often thought, so when we see people with diabetes, you know, we tend to get people with diabetes to lose a substantial amount of weight if we can get them off of insulinotropic meds. So if we get them off of insulin or sulfonylurea, which actually are kind of locking their weight in place, we can get substantial weight loss. And I mean more weight loss than people who do not have diabetes. And that's because their weight has kind of been artificially elevated by the medicines that they're taking. I would analyze data in people who are completely off insulin. So that's what I have proposed is, you know, let's look at just the people who came off insulin completely in this trial and let's see how much weight they lost, because I would expect them to lose a lot more.
Do you see that certain patients don't lose as much weight with GLP-1 RAs?
When you look at the GLP-1 data carefully, you see that there are non-responders. Even with something, you know, sema and tirzepatide, there are non-responders. Why don't they respond? What is that all about? Is it that there's so much inflammation and damage to these circuits that they just can't respond? I mean, we have patients who we give these agents to, and they'll tell you, I don't know what this is supposed to do, but I'm not fuller.
I don't feel like I can't eat. I saw this yesterday in a patient who happens to be a judge. He's a very insightful person. And the man said, my glucose is down. My A1C is down to 5.4 from 9, but he's like, am I supposed to not eat with this thing?
He doesn't know what I'm talking about. So could it be that that type of clinical scenario is related to the inflammation that's there? Still too early to tell. In using these agents, even with the most potent, we see that about 15% of people do not respond. They lose less than 5% of their body weight. It's quite an interesting phenomenon. But one of the things that we're seeing is that people who fail a GLP-1 may respond to something else. So it's not a weight loss specific issue. may be a GLP-1 specific issue. So we had a number of cases who did not respond to the GLP-1s, but have responded to other agents.
Do you believe cardiovascular outcome trials will identify benefits for patients with obesity?
Doing cardiovascular outcome trials is complicated. You need people who are at risk, but you don't want people who are too far gone. So the question is, where's the best spot? We already have outcome studies in people with diabetes showing that there is benefit on one hand, and we have not outcome studies, but case control studies and, you know, like outcome studies with bariatric surgery showing that there is benefit in many different domains. And the thing that's so powerful about treating obesity is that not only do you get a reduction in cardiovascular risk, but you get the biggest reduction is the risk of developing type 2 diabetes, of you get a reduced risk of developing cancers and other diseases that are associated with obesity, sleep apnea. I mean, there are 200 illnesses that are associated with an increase in body weight. The short answer is, I believe that we're going to show it. I think the studies have been designed well. We're involved actually in the CVOTs, and I wasn't involved in the design of them. But are we going to see the magnitude that we're hoping for? I don't know. I mean, obesity is very chronic. Are we going to see the benefit in a short period of time? Hard to say. So we have follow-up studies going on in these CVOTs that are going out to 10 years. That's where we're really going to see the benefit of getting people to lose weight and maintaining that weight loss.
Even though we don't have all the answers, we're learning more about these medications every day. Historically, it has taken the guidelines a long time to catch up with the current knowledge. In the next episode, Dr. Aroni will give you a quick overview of how obesity medicine guidelines have evolved since the early 2000s. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Pfizer Podcast Series. My name is Prakash Chandran, and we'll talk next time.